This is Allison Keever, reminding you that you are listening to BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, where we're calling America to pray around the clock and around the globe.
This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station with Dale Gentry and friends, calling America to pray, a member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change. Now, here's your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, thank you very much, and good Wednesday morning, everybody. Good to have you listening here on BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Now in our fifth year of broadcasting around the clock and around the globe since 2014. I want to welcome everyone across America and nations of the world to Intercession February. Every weekday, we are calling all intercessors to help us pray for this nation, for another spiritual awakening, for our president and his administration, Congress, pastors, people groups, and different individual needs. And each day, of course, we are spending time praying and seeking God, because we believe the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. And every day, of course, we are praying for certain issues, and we have different prayer leaders. Today, I have Dennis Jernigan's on with me today, helping me lead prayer. Tomorrow, Allison Keeber will be leading prayer with whoever's helping her, Rhonda Kinzer, Friday, Monday through Friday. And so we're spending time seeking the face of God. And, of course, yesterday, we spent lots of time praying for President Donald Trump's State of the Union speech, which I believe was the greatest State of the Union speech I've ever heard in my lifetime. And I believe that our prayers worked. I believe that he said some things that were necessary. And just in case you missed it, I want to play just a few comments of his remarks about abortion last night.
There could be no greater contrast to the beautiful image of a mother holding her infant child than the chilling displays our nation saw in recent days. Lawmakers in New York cheered with delight upon the passage of legislation that would allow a baby to be ripped from the mother's womb moments from birth. These are living, feeling, beautiful babies who will never get the chance to share their love and their dreams with the world. And then we had the case of the governor of Virginia, where he stated he would execute a baby after birth. To defend the dignity of every person, I am asking Congress to pass legislation to prohibit the late term abortion of children who can feel pain in a mother's womb.
Okay, we certainly are joining President Donald Trump in that legislation. We're thankful that he brought that awareness, as we now repent as a nation for over 60 million babies that have been aborted in the womb. And we're praying. We're praying for our nation, our land, and today we're praying for individual needs and also concerning the abortion crises in America and the growing homosexual agenda in this land and what the Bible has to say about it. Dennis Jernigan is going to be joining me in a few moments. Let me leave prayer concerning this situation. But first, I want to remind you that the views and opinions of those on this broadcast or any of our programs here on BPNRadio.com may or may not be the views of Breakout Prayer Network. BPN Radio is not responsible for any counsel or prophetic words given on this broadcast, any of our programs, but we're absolutely delighted that you're listening. This program is produced by Michael Schonborn, edited by Aliona Pertuca, and supported by you, our loyal listeners, partners, and friends. And remember, this program is going to be replayed today 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and 10 o'clock. That's all Central Time, Texas Time, on bpnradio.com. And we're gonna pray today, not only about the abortion situation that now is front and center in America, but also we're going to pray about the gay movement, the homosexual movement that is now in full bloom in this nation. And perhaps you have read Franklin Graham's new magazine this month, which has been given mostly to what he describes as the two most pressing moral issues of today, abortion and homosexuality. He stated that since the 2015 Supreme Court ruling of Obergefell versus Hodges that officially recognized and legalized gay marriage, the entire LGBTQ agenda has been heartily endorsed and promoted by virtually every sector of our culture, including now the pride parades at Disney, at the Disney theme parks, and to indoctrinate our little children into that lifestyle. And Franklin's declaring that homosexuality is not the new norm in America, as so many people proclaim. Franklin Graham has gone on to say, if you oppose abortion or homosexuality, you quickly draw the ire and disdain of the new moral police, as he has discovered himself being removed from Facebook for a short time concerning his comments. He declared that what saddens me more is the failure of the church to preach compellingly and consistently against abortion and homosexuality, that pastors must talk about these sins, declaring how a person can be trapped in sin and be set free if they don't know what sin is. This is where the church is stumbling, he said. So this morning, I wholeheartedly agree with Franklin Graham, knowing that this movement is growing in America with very little rejection from the pulpit, which is our last line of defense in this nation. Even if pastors would just get up and read scriptures, that would be very helpful. But so many have become silent, and we're praying about that. There's a man that's on with me today that's been on bpnradio.com for two or three times, and we play a lot of his music. Dennis Jernigan is with me today, who I've known over 30 years. Dennis is a worship leader, song receiver, author, but more importantly, he is a husband and father. He's been married for 33 years to Melinda. They have 9 children, make their home in Muskogee, Oklahoma. And he's been walking in freedom from his former homosexual identity since November the 7th, 1981. Hey, Dennis, it's good to have you back on BPN Radio today.
So good to be back with you, Dale. Thanks for having me.
And I'm so thankful you're sharing your testimony. I know there's been a lot of rejection since you've been doing that, and since the homosexual movement is growing. But why? I know the homosexual movement is in the streets of our nation, but now it's in many of our churches. How did it get in?
Well, the church decided to let the culture. Well, they didn't decide. They just have let the culture dictate who they are rather than dictating who God is to the culture. I really do believe that. The more I go about my life, my opportunities to share my story have dwindled to almost nothing. And churches were the bastion for so long for a guy like me to share my story and to help others walk out of the same lifestyle. And Jesus has been setting people free from homosexuality for over 2,000 years. We know that because 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. But here's the kicker, Dale. Such were some of you. Such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. The church is scared out of its mind to share that simple truth, that God can set someone free from same-sex attraction. And that's what I find. The church has no idea of how to communicate, just to bring it down to its lowest common denominator. Just because someone is tempted in a manner doesn't mean that's the defining thing in their life. same-sex attraction was not my identity. I thought it was for a long time. But by the Holy Spirit, during a time of worship, he came to me and said, "Son, that's not who I say you are. You need to repent. That's putting yourself as an idol. That's building yourself up as an idol." And so for me, homosexuality, same-sex attraction was an idol in my life. And we're supposed to tear down the idols. That's just what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you're,
in a nutshell, that...
Yeah, you have an incredible testimony, Dennis, and you've shared that testimony on bpnradio.com before. And if you want to share any more of that today, you can. But specifically, I wanted you in a few moments just to lead us in prayer concerning those that are bound by homosexuality. Many of them have accepted this lifestyle because so many pastors, I'm talking about even among the church, because so many pastors have chosen to remain what they would call neutral, which I disagree with, remain neutral or remain silent because of the backlash, which you have been experiencing now for some time. You know, one Oklahoma City pastor, which is the middle of the Bible Belt, sharing to me that when he talked about homosexuality, that 45 people in his church stood up and walked out on a Sunday morning in protest because they declared, "We have friends that are homosexuals, and we believe that this is hate speech, and we don't believe that you ought to be, as we would say in the old days, throwing off or trying to cast aspersions on our friends." And even one of the young singers in America, she says that she no longer speaks against homosexuality because so many of her friends, I guess what she describes as Christian friends, are homosexuals. And so we have a growing movement, but the Bible specifically talks about homosexuality. Now, I've been in full-time ministry almost 52 years, and, you know, for the first many years of my ministry, it was a given. We didn't have to talk about that because the church knew that it was sin. And but now the church, since it's become openly recognized by our society and our secular humanist, so many pastors are remaining silent. So there's a lot of Christians that they don't even know what the Scripture says about homosexuality. And men like yourself who want to share your testimony and have had open, I mean, you've had major doors for so many, many years, but then when homosexuality becomes comes to the forefront of what is happening in America as the new norm, then suddenly the doors are being shut concerning your ministry. But I'm thankful that you and men like Franklin Graham, who's devoted most of his magazine this month to homosexuality and abortion, are refusing to remain silent. And what is your response to all of this, Dennis? I know this could be quite discouraging. Even well-known recording artists that used to record with you no longer are willing to do that because of your stand concerning homosexuality. How could all this be happening?
Well, it's like you've already said, the church is walking in fear, and that's a sad statement to have to even make. They fear more about what mankind and man's wisdom thinks of them than what God's word says. It's very clear. God's word calls it sin, so I call it sin. And just because somebody disagrees with me doesn't mean I can't love them. Just because I tell someone they're walking in sin doesn't mean I love them. In fact, I see it just as the opposite. I see that's the highest way to express love to someone. If I see one of my children heading for traffic, I'm going to go get between them and the traffic and try to stop them. And that's mm-hmm. what the church is not doing in this area. Our young people are headed for the traffic of just destruction. And the church is not willing to stand up and say, "Hey, wait a minute. Let's think about this. Here's what God's word says on the matter."
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was tempted in every manner, just as we are, yet without sin. So that tells me the temptation does not define anyone. But with every temptation, Jesus makes a way of escape. And the way of escape is salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Let him, he is our maker. He is the one who defines us. Not, we don't even get to define ourselves. My greatest discovery, my life became so abundant the day I realized I don't get to define myself. I better be seeking the one who made me to find out who he says I am. And according to his word, he says homosexual behavior is sin. So I must call it sin, and I must repent of that. I must turn and set my heart and my eyes on Jesus Christ. And Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Mm-hmm. And in Romans, we're commanded to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The battleground is our mind, and that's where the church is dropping the ball. I just think they're falling for the lies of the enemy more than they are standing up for the Word of God. Yeah. I really do believe that. Yeah, they've been deceived.
I agree. How did you get free, Dennis? How long were you homosexual, and how did you get free?
Well, I was about 22 years of age, and I thought that that was just the way I was born, and I can't come to the place where I just said, I am homosexual. This is just the way it is. This is just who I am. I'm going to stop fighting it. And that's when God began to intervene in my life. Went to a Christian university and found even more guys struggling with homosexuality just like myself. And long story made short, I became so miserable in that life because we were calling it love, but we were just basically using one another just for self-gratification, and that's all there was to it. And I became so miserable that I decided I would try to take my own life, and I made an attempt on my own life. I one night went to my little apartment, turned on my gas stove, and didn't like the flame, and I just let the gas fill the room. And this little voice came into my head and said, are you ready for eternity? It scared me so badly. I know now that was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Yeah. And I got up and turned off the gas, and that's the night I admitted, you know what, I'm homosexual, and there's nothing I can do about it. I'm just going to embrace it. So I embraced it for that next whole year and became even more miserable than ever. I thought this was supposed to be the remedy, supposed to be the identifier of my life, and all of a sudden I realized I'm more miserable than ever. So I went to a Christian rock concert by a band called Second Chapter of Acts. During that concert, the lead singer began to prophesy, and she just said, there's somebody here tonight, and the Holy Spirit wants me to tell you he sees the things that you've gone through and things that you'd be devastated if you thought anyone else knew about. That he wants me to tell you that he sees the things you think you hide in your heart, and he loves you anyway. He loves you right where you are, but he loves you enough to not leave you there. You just need to give those things to Jesus. And you have to understand, Dale, I thought homosexuality was too vile for Jesus to take on the cross, because for so long, in even unspoken ways, the church had communicated to me that's the unpardonable sin. Mm-hmm. And so I was scared to death to go to turn to anybody in the church. And so here's this lady on stage telling me, no, it doesn't matter what it is, just give it to Jesus. So that night, I gave homosexuality and my same-sex attraction to Jesus and left it on the cross with him. And I was died on the cross with him that night. Next thing I know, he is saying, Dennis Dernigan, come forth from your grave, leave the old you there. He's dead now. And I began what I call my incredible journey of discovering who he says I am. And so that brings me right back to one of my first statements. I don't get to define myself. I go to my maker for that. I don't go to the wisdom of mankind. I don't rely on human thinking. I rely on the word of God and who he says I am, who he calls me to be.
Yeah.
So that's how I got set free. And then I just became so overwhelmed with gratitude that I began to express it musically, because nobody was writing songs that dealt with what I was dealing with. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'll just write my own. And before I knew it, people were wanting to sing the songs in their own churches. And here I am talking to you on BPN to people around the world about what Jesus has done for me. And, yeah. You know, God's word says in Psalm 107, 1 and 2, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord sit quietly on their hands and hope everyone knows that they're redeemed. That's not what it says. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And that's where I am with the church. Why is the church not saying so? If we who've been redeemed from homosexuality aren't given the opportunity to declare what Jesus has done for us, then how in the world is anyone else out there going to know that freedom and hope are even possible? That's why I will not be silent. And people threaten to silence me all the time, mm-hmm. or want me to be silent. They want me to shut up, but I can't. Because I remember being a kid wishing somebody would have told me that freedom and hope and change were possible, and no one ever did. So when he set me free, it still took me 7 years to get to the point where I felt free and safe enough in the church, in the body of Christ, to share what I had been delivered from. Boy, talk about liberation. Rather than the enemy threatening to shout up from the rooftop and fear keeping me silent, I decided I would shout up from the rooftop. Mm-hmm. And I took the wind out of the enemy's sails the moment I did that. And that's one of the most profound things I've ever done in my life, is tell publicly, Jesus, here's who I thought I was. Here's who Jesus said I am. Here's what he did for me. He can do the same thing for you. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I answered your question or not, but that's where I am.
It's very good. Were you set free that night? Did you get freedom that night? What was the process of your freedom?
Well, the most asked question of my life, you just basically asked it, was your healing instant, or has it been a process? The answer is yes to both. In an instant, I was born again. I was given a brand new identity. But the process looks like Lazarus. Lazarus was dead in the grave. I used to be dead in my homosexual identity. And Jesus came to the head of my grave, and he said, Dennis Jernigan, come forth. Somebody loose from that boy the grave clothes, the things that bound him, the things that defined him in his old way of deathly thinking. And so I've been walking towards Jesus as the process, and he reveals to me the things that I thought defined me that don't, and those are the old grave clothes that I rip away. Mm-hmm. And every time I rip away something I thought I was, I get a little more free. So even the declaring of my story right now, I feel a little more free than I did even yesterday, just because I've been given the opportunity to share what Jesus has done for me. But it is a process. It is instantaneous, and it is a process. In a moment, I was made like, you know, everything that is the mighty oak tree is already in the little acorn. Now, on November 7th, 1981, the acorn was planted in my heart. And the seed of my true identity began to sprout and grow into this, what I call, mighty oak of my life. But everything that I was going to be was already in me, and I just never realized it. Mm-hmm. Jesus has been helping me discover that by ripping away the old grave clothes.
Yeah. So what would you say to those that are listening today? They become involved in homosexuality, or maybe what would you say to parents whose son or daughter has turned to the homosexual lifestyle? I know one of the sad things that's happening in America today is young ladies, having their breasts removed, having mutilating their bodies, all sorts of things that are happening become very demonic. What would you say to these, mostly millennials, most of the millennial generation, which we're definitely praying for, or maybe moms and dads, maybe Christian moms and dads, and their son or daughters turned to a homosexual lifestyle. Maybe they're feeling very guilty, very ashamed, or condemned because maybe they felt like they didn't teach or train their son or daughter properly. And so there's a major war going on in this land, and even some church leaders not only are being silent about what is happening in the homosexual culture, but they're even inviting some of these individuals to come and be a part of their leadership, a part of their worship team. What is your response, Dennis?
Well, first of all, I would say to parents, you're not your child's savior. You're not your child's redeemer. You're their parent. So stop trying to be their savior and redeemer and let Jesus be that. You're just responsible to point them to Jesus. And I've had people say, well, my son or daughter gave me an ultimatum that said, like, for instance, I want you, mom and dad, to come to my same-sex wedding. And if you love me, you'll come. And my response to that is, well, if you love me, then you won't ask me to violate my conscience. Mm-hmm. So it works both ways. Mm-hmm. but parents aren't responsible for their children's choices. Those children, my dad and mom were not responsible for my choices. Could my home life been a little better? Sure, but no family's perfect. My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we need the grace of God. So I would say to the parents, again, you're not responsible for the choices of your children. You are responsible to be their mom and dad, not their friend, not their enabler, but just to point them to Jesus. Yeah. I don't know if that helps or not.
Yeah, it does. And so what do you say to young people that may be listening, because they have been they've been so indoctrinated that some of them were born like this, or the love of Jesus. We've got everybody walks in love, and this is how it is, and we just don't see anything wrong with it. So how do you respond?
Well, first of all, I'd say, have you considered the possibility that you might be wrong? Because they're told in the world that, you know, even at the highest echelons of sports, you know, Bruce Jenner saying, okay, now I think I'm a woman trapped inside a man's body. Yet here I can say, well, I used to be homosexual, but I'm not anymore, and I'm ridiculed, and he's given awards.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. You just may be wrong, and you want tolerance, you want compassion, you want love, and you get to define it. But I define love by the way God defines love. And this is love that a man lays down his life for his friends. Have you laid down your life for Jesus? You say you're a believer and you're homosexual. Well, how can that be if you've not laid down your sexuality before Jesus on the cross and let him show you who you truly are?
Mm-hmm.
Just consider, like Paul asked those in Rome and Corinth to just consider. And I can't change anyone, but I can declare what Jesus has done for me. And that's where I always come back down to, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I'm answering your question or not.
That's very good. I know that you have a message to share, and you have been sharing it in the face of controversy, in the face of maybe losing some of your who you thought were your close friends, good friends. And then, of course, there was a time that you were highly in demand because you're such an incredible worship leader, singer, musician. But because of your testimony, your stand concerning homosexuality, which I know that when I talk about your stand, I know that is in love. And the Apostle Paul, when he spoke to the church at Rome about homosexuality, he talks about how he dearly loves the church, and then he talks about their sin. And so I know that we do that in love. I know that Christians who are very hateful, spiteful about this are making a tragic mistake. But sharing the truth in love is very, very important, and I know that's what you've been doing. And I'm praying that doors once again will open for you to go in and share your testimony. You're an incredible worship leader and singer, and major recording artists have recorded with you and sung with you, and you just have an incredible ministry. And I'm praying that doors will open again, and pastors will begin to realize, hey, we've got to warn people. And because if we do not warn people about this sin, about the devastating consequences, then there's going to be some accountability, responsibility that lies at our doorstep. And so I'm praying that doors will open for you. That's why I want you to pray however the Holy Spirit leads you, Dennis. And then I'm going to pray for you and ask you how we can help you, because I believe that you have a compelling message. I personally only know of two men that are really sharing their testimony and talking about about what's happening in this LGBTQ movement in America that is expanding and enlarging. I only know of two, and so I'm going to pray for you. But first of all, I want you to pray for those that may be involved in this lifestyle, for parents, for pastors, for churches. However, I know you love the Holy Spirit, so however He leads you, I'm going to play some worship music and let you pray. And this is what we're all about this month. This is Intercession February, where we're interceding, knowing that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. So there's a lot of people that's going to set themselves in agreement as you pray, Dennis Jernigan. God bless you, and just however the Holy Spirit leads you.
Okay. Father, first of all, just we acknowledge your presence. Father, apart from your presence, I wouldn't even be here. You are my maker. I have not made myself. You are my maker. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for setting me free. And right now, Father, I pray specifically for those young men and women, or maybe older men and women, just people who struggle with same-sex attraction, homosexuality, Father. I just ask that you would open their eyes. Just open their eyes to the truth, Father. If it takes a question, just, you know, maybe just the question, am I right or am I wrong? Would you just convict them, Holy Spirit? I just ask you to bring down conviction and do whatever it takes to bring them to their knees. I don't mean that in a harsh way, Father, at all. I mean it in a good way. Let them get to the bottom and look up and see that you are their only hope, and you have been all along. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. For those who've always wanted a best friend or someone of the same sex to just have communion with, not sexual relations with, Father, but just those who wanted a best friend but never had it, show them that you've always been there. You have always been there, and you've been loving them right where they were all along the way, but you love them enough to not leave them there. So, Father, I ask you specifically for those in the bondage of homosexuality to have their eyes opened and their chains loosed right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I lift up the parents and friends of, and grandparents of those who are involved, or have children or grandchildren or friends who struggle with same-sex attraction. I just ask you to give them the grace to do what's right and to love by laying down their lives, Father. For the parents and grandparents, I ask you to show them they are not their child's savior, they are not their child's redeemer, but they are not their child's friend either. They're their parents and they're their grandparents, and help them have to receive the grace they need to keep loving and keep pointing their children to Jesus. And Father, for the church, I just ask you to break the heart of the church, Father. I ask you to break their heart to show them that they're leading people astray, Father.
Yeah, Lord.
They don't lead them to Jesus. They're not leading them where they need to be. If they're leading them to the ways and of mankind, humanism, humanistic thinking, Father, the worldview that where man is the center, I ask you to break their heart to that and reveal that to them. Only you can do that, Holy Spirit. But I ask you to break the heart of the church. And Father, I ask you for all those out there who have been set free from homosexuality, and I have met hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, through the years, who are scared to death because the way they are reviled once they admit that they've been set free. I ask you to give them a special grace today.
Yes,
to just begin sharing in even small ways, Father, just with that friend next door, with that neighbor next door, or set up divine appointments where they can just share their testimony one-on-one, Father.
Yes,
that's where the rubber meets the road, Father. I ask you for people who are willing to step outside human thinking and step into the realm of the Spirit.
Yes.
And be sensitive to your Spirit and be willing to share their story. Because, Father, we all struggle with something, and you are the answer. If there's a question, you are the answer.
Yes.
And for homosexuality, especially right now, you are the answer, Jesus. And I ask you to make that so in our nation. I ask you to break the heart of our nation. I ask you to bring revival in this area in our nation.
Yes, Lord.
Just revival in general, where Jesus Christ is Lord of all, where Jesus Christ sets people free, where Jesus Christ delivers those in bondage of any kind, not just same-sex attraction. Homosexuality is no big deal for you, Lord.
Yeah.
But show us as the church that that's the truth, that you've been setting people free from this since the days of Paul the Apostle and before.
Yes.
So, Father, I ask for an attitude of repentance on the church, that the church would just repent of its ways, and that they would not be afraid to speak the truth in love, and give them the grace to do that, Father. And I ask you to raise up the next generation of guys and girls who are willing to share what you've done for them to their generation. Because I'm afraid people think I'm too old, Father, for their generation, but I will keep speaking the truth until the day I die. And I ask you for the grace to keep doing this. And I ask you for more opportunities for men like myself and women who've been set free to be given that place where they can share what you've done for them. Because it is the redeemed who need to be saying so. But if the redeemed are shut, not given the opportunity, then, Father, give us new ways. I just ask you for new ways to, yes, new avenues to share our stories.
Yes.
And, Father, that's it. I just ask you to break the heart of our nation, break the heart of our government leaders, break the heart of our churches, break the heart of our pastors, break the heart of our people, and let them see that the things that break your heart need to be breaking our heart as well. Father, above all, I ask that you be Lord of all, and that you be all in all to every person on this planet, and that the flame and the fire of the Holy Spirit would reveal truth,
yes,
that people would stop seeking comfort, that they would seek truth and not,
yes,
comfort, Father.
Yes, Lord.
But only you can do that by your grace. So, Holy Spirit, I ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen and amen. I set myself in agreement with you, Dennis, concerning your prayers and those that are listeners today and those that are setting themselves in agreement with you. I want to pray for you right now, and I want you to tell me how we can help you get the message out, and maybe how people can, I guess you have a Facebook page, you have a website. And also,
yeah,
we're going to help you. You know, we've made a commitment each month. We're going to sow financially into your ministry, and you might just share how people can help you with what God has called you to do, Dennis.
Well, He's called me to, first of all, most importantly, just keep telling my story, and I'm looking for unique ways to do that. And just so your listeners will know, I've had the enemy throw something else in my life these last few months. Back in October, was diagnosed with vocal damage to my left vocal cord. I'm glad to say that the Lord is healing that. But just 2 weeks ago, I received a diagnosis that I have Parkinson's disease, and it's affecting my ability to even play the piano. But so what we've done is we're asking God for healing, but I'm asking God to take what the enemy means for evil and use it for my good and His glory. Even if this is the diagnosis for the rest of my life, that's what I'm facing right now. So with the help of a couple of my children, and since I don't get to go out and minister much publicly anymore, we've created a page called patreon.com/Dennis Jernigan. That's patreon.com/Dennis Jernigan, where I create content each month. I send out a daily devotion for all those who want to be patrons of my page. We've just been doing this for a month, but it gives me a creative outlet for all that God's doing for me and in me, because I want to create as much content as I can, leave a legacy that's long, that leaves no doubt about who Jesus is and what He has done for me for generations to come. So people can get through that and receive many benefits as a result. But that's patreon.com/Dennis Jernigan. And then I pastor a church in my home. Since the church is so afraid of homosexuality and what that means, for several years, Melinda and I pastored a church in our home that we've just incorporated over the last 3 years, called All in All Church, that meets every Wednesday night in our home. People can come to our home and tell us their stories, because there's just no fear, because what happens in my living room stays in my living room. And I believe the Church of Jesus Christ should be the safest place on earth, where anybody can tell what they're struggling with and find help and hope in Jesus. So people can give, if they want a tax deductible gift, they can go to allinall www.thechurch.com and find how to donate online there. But that would help us tremendously. But that's allinallchurch.com. And people can find me on Facebook. They can find me on Instagram. They can find me on iTunes. And I'm going to go down fighting, brother. I'm just going to go down fighting. My wife and I just had our 11th grandchild, so I've got a legacy that I want to leave for them.
Mm-hmm.
That it leaves no doubt about what Jesus did for Granddad, for Grandpa Jernigan.
Yeah.
And so that's where I am personally. That's part of the struggle, is just health.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. I'll be at Christ for the Nation speaking 3 days next week in Dallas. That's about 500 young people I get to influence with my story next week. So there are a few places still having me share, but for this year, that's one of the only, I have two other opportunities for the rest of the year, and that's it. So if the church out there wants me to come and share my story, even if I can't sing as well as I used to, or for as long as I used to, I still have a heart of passion for worship and telling my story, and as long as I have strength, I'll do that. So,
amen.
I just said a lot, so Dennis, that's what's going on with me, brother.
Thank you for being on. I've known you for over 30 years. I've followed your journey, your ministry with Evangelist James Robinson, and you just sitting down at a piano leading large groups of people in worship, and all of the songs that you've recorded, which I'm going to play your song All in All in just a moment. I pray for you, Dennis. And I just want people that are listening today here on bpnradio.com, whether you're listening at 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 10 o'clock, or on the iPods that will be on bpnradio.com, however you may be listening. We just pray right now. We set ourselves in agreement for Dennis Jernigan, a faithful man of God, a faithful husband, a faithful father, a faithful grandfather, a faithful minister, a faithful worshiper. And we pray for you right now. We set ourselves in agreement for Dennis. We thank you, Lord, for his obedience to share his testimony concerning his deliverance from the homosexual lifestyle that has helped many, many, many others get free in Jesus' name, and to continue to share that. And I know that it's been difficult the last few years, the opposition that he's received, but we pray for him right now. We pray a special grace upon him, a special blessing upon he and his family. And I pray for his healing from this Parkinson's disease. And I ask God that you heal Dennis Jernigan. I pray for their home church, which there are many home churches being developed across America today, is all in all church, and his ministry to those that are bound by the attraction of the same gender. And I pray for his ministry. I pray for his music, that people will go to iTunes and purchase the Dennis Jernigan music and the anointing that is upon his life and all the songs he's written and recorded. I pray for him right now, for open doors. I pray for financial support. I pray that people will support his ministry. And even if they don't come to his church, they'll support his ministry. And I do pray for pastors that they will take this incredible opportunity to have a man of God that has been delivered from this lifestyle. And we know that so many Christian young people are being entangled in this lifestyle, primarily because pastors are not saying anything about it. They're not declaring the sin that is involved. I pray, Lord, that they would consider having Dennis Jernigan to come to their church or their prayer group or their people group to share his testimony and his songs and to pray for those who are in bondage. I pray for his ministry next week at Christ for the Nations, as he was able to speak to hundreds of young people, hundreds of millennials, I pray for him that you would anoint him. I pray for Dennis Jernigan. I pray for him, Melinda, that you would bless them and supply all their financial needs and direct their paths. I pray for your hedge of protection to be about them in the face of all sorts of accusing voices, voices of accusation that are spreading across America. I pray for Dennis Jernigan. I pray for him. I set myself in agreement, Lord, that your will, plan, and purpose is going to be done in his life. Direct his footsteps, direct his paths in Jesus' name. And I pray for the words that he's spoken today, Lord, that his testimony will be replayed and his testimony will be shared by many others. I bless Dennis and I bless his family, his marriage, his kids, and his grandkids in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen, and amen. I'm gonna play this song, Dennis. All in all, thank you for being on today, and we will be replaying this program several times today. I thank you for setting yourselves in agreement and praying for those in bondage today, and I love it because you do it in such love and compassion, and I'm grateful for that. Thanks for being on today, Dennis.
Thanks, Dale. And let me just remind your people, too, that my life story is available in a book called Sing Over Me, and then a follow-up book called Renewing Your Mind are both available for those who struggle. And I also have a weekly podcast called the Dennis Jernigan Podcast. You can find on iTunes or anywhere you get your podcasts.
Okay.
But I just share the story behind the music. And this week's song is called Run to the Battle, and it's specifically how God has called me to run to the battle like David ran to Goliath. He didn't run away from Goliath. Jesus went to the cross. He didn't run away from the cross.
Yeah.
I will run towards the truth.
Amen.
So the church needs to rise up and run to the battle. So sorry to keep talking, but
no,
I needed to share that.
Oh, thank you very much. And how do people get your books?
Just Amazon.com.
Amazon.com. Dennis Jernigan. And Jernigan, and well, that would be great for them to order your books and share it with a son or a daughter or a friend. That would be fantastic, even if pastors would order your book and make them available to anybody in the congregation that would love to read them. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you for being on. I bless you and ask God to bless you and appreciate you. God bless.
Thank you, Dale. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, here's Dennis Jernigan, song he wrote and recorded. All in all, good to have you listening here on bpnradio.com.
Strength when I am weak, you are the treasure that I seek, you are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool, you are my all in all.
Take my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again. Bless your name, you are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Thank you.
Yeah, there you have Dennis Jernigan here on BPNRadio.com. Natalie Grant helping Dennis out. Dennis Jernigan, Natalie Grant. One of the incredible songs, one of the many songs that Dennis Jernigan has wrote. It's good to have him on today. Here on BPNRadio.com as we pray concerning the homosexual movement that is spreading across our land, making its way into the church as a result of so many pastors and church leaders that have become silent. Some saying that one sin is no greater than another sin, but you know, the Bible has some things to say, and all we have to do is just read the Word of God. You know, Leviticus 18 says this, I'm reading from the Living Bible. The Lord then told Moses to tell the people of Israel, I'm Jehovah your God. Don't act like the heathen, like the people of Egypt, where you lived so long, or the people of Canaan, where I'm going to take you. You must obey only my laws, and you must carry them out in detail. For I'm the Lord your God. If you obey them, you shall live. I'm the Lord. He said, do not have intercourse with your sister or half-sister. You shall not have intercourse with your granddaughter, relative. You may not have intercourse with a half-sister. You're not your aunt. He said, homosexuality is absolutely forbidden, for it is an enormous sin. Do not defile yourself in any of these ways, for these are the things that the heathen do. And because they do them, I'm going to cast them out from the land to which you're going. That entire country is defiled with this kind of activity. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, he said, dear friends in Rome, this letter is from Paul, Jesus Christ's slave, chosen to be a missionary and sent out to preach God's good news. This good news was promised long ago by God's prophets in the Old Testament. It is the good news about his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came as a human baby, born into King David's royal family line. And by being raised from the dead, he was proved to be the mighty Son of God with the holy nature of God himself. And now through Christ, all the kindness of God has been poured out upon us as undeserving sinners. And now he is sending us out around the world to tell all the people everywhere the great things that God has done for them, so that they too will believe and obey him. And you, dear friends in Rome, are among those he dearly loves. You too are invited by Christ, by Jesus Christ, to be God's very own. Yes, his holy people, may all God's mercies and peace be yours from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. For I'm not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is God's powerful method of bringing all who believe it to heaven. This message was preached first to the Jews alone, but now everyone is invited to come to God in this same way. The good news tells us that God makes us ready for heaven, makes us right in God's sight, when we put our faith and trust in Christ to save us. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the Scripture says it, the man who finds life will find it through trusting God. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, evil men who push away the truth from them. For the truth about God is known to them instinctively. God has put this knowledge in their hearts. Since earliest times, men have seen the earth and sky and all God made, and have known of his existence and great eternal power. So they will have no excuse when they stand before God at judgment day. So God let them go ahead into every sort of sex sin and do whatever they wanted to. Yes, vile and sinful things with each other's bodies. Instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies. So they prayed to the things God made, but wouldn't obey the blessed God who made these things. That is why God let go of them and let them do all these evil things, so that even their women turned against God's natural plan for them and indulged in sex sin with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sex relationships with women, burn with lust for each other. Men doing shameful things with other men and as a result, getting paid within their own souls with a penalty they so richly deserved. So it was that when they gave God up and would not even acknowledge Him, God gave them up to doing everything their evil minds could think of. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness and sin, of greed and hate, envy, murder, fighting, lying, bitterness, and gossip. They were backbiters, haters of God, insolent, proud, braggarts, always thinking of new ways of sinning, and continually being disobedient to their parents. They tried to misunderstand, broke their promises, and were heartless, without pity. They were fully aware of God's death penalty for those crimes, yet they went right ahead and did them anyway and discouraged others to do them too, or encouraged others to do them too. And Paul wrote, that was a church that he, that was a letter he wrote to Rome, and then he wrote a letter to the church at Corinth. He said from the Living Bible, 1 Corinthians 6, "Don't you know that those doing such things have no share in the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who live immoral lives, who are idol worshipers, adulterers, or homosexuals, will have no share in His kingdom. Neither will thieves or greedy people, drunkards, slanderers, or robbers. Sexual sin is never right. Our bodies were not made for that, but for the Lord, and the Lord wants to fill our bodies with Himself." This is why I say to run from sex sin. No other sin affects the body as this one does. So the Apostle Paul talked about being a robber, a slanderer, a drunkard, being greedy, but then he goes right back and says, primarily I want to talk to you about sexual sin. And he said, no other sin affects the body as this one does. So we here today are praying for those that are trapped in homosexuality or any other sexual sin. But today we're specifically praying for the sin of abortion and the sin of homosexuality. And we're praying for freedom for those who are in bondage. We're praying for women that are considering having an abortion. We're praying for women that have gone through an abortion. That's why that Rhonda Kinzer is such a important voice and such a voice of clarity on bpnradio.com because of her ministry, her and Delvin's ministry, to those that have gone through an abortion. And so many women are ashamed to tell about having an abortion. So many men as well have suffered because they encouraged their wife or their girlfriend to abort the baby that they helped conceive. And so we're praying for Rhonda. We're praying she's sick today. She's been sick for several days. We speak healing over Rhonda Kinzer. We pray for her today. And we pray for intercession Friday, the Friday portion of Intercession February, when she's back, and believe that she's going to be well. Remember that Allison Keeber will not be having Prophetic Thursday tomorrow, but she will be leading the Intercession Thursday part of Intercession February tomorrow. All through the month of February, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., 2 p.m., 5 p.m., 10 p.m., we are having intercession. And yesterday we interceded for President Trump's speech last night, and what an amazing job he did. Today we're interceding concerning 60 million babies that have been aborted in America, which we repent. We repent for on behalf of our nation that so proudly is proclaiming in many instances, in many different arenas and avenues and venues, they're proud of their ability and their rights, according to the Supreme Court ruling, that they can have an abortion. But now we're witnessing infanticide, where now you can kill the baby outside of the womb. That's where we're headed. And where do we go after that? Where do we go? we start killing the those that are physically or emotionally, mentally disabled. And then where do we go after that? We start killing the elderly and are those that have terminal diseases. Where do we go after that? Ladies and gentlemen, we're on a slippery slope in America that we must turn around. And the only remedy, and there is a remedy, but the only remedy is revival. And I believe that starts with a prayer revival where we begin to pray. And if my people, which are called by my name, the Lord said, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, I'm going to hear from heaven. I'm going to forgive their sin and heal their land. Where does it start? It starts with his people. I am a son of God. And those of you that are listening today, you are a son or daughter of God. And the buck stops with us because we must pray. And that's what we're calling for. We're calling in the name of Jesus for the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person to avail of much. So, Father, we set ourselves in agreement today here on BPNradio.com. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Kero ru me'eri la robo usi kibishi katabakatai. Lord, in many instances, we've just laid aside our regular programming, calling America to pray, particularly calling intercessors, people that know how to pray and know how to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. We set ourselves in agreement together for another spiritual awakening in America. That America will turn back to you, God. It will not come through legislation. It will not come through Congress. It will not come as a result of the Supreme Court. But it will come as the people of God, as the sons and daughters of God, begin to call upon the name of the Lord in the name of Jesus. God, we ask for prayer revivals to start all across America, in churches, in homes and businesses, on high school and college and university campuses. I pray that prayer leaders will stand up and be counted and begin to call people to pray. I pray that young people will come out of obscurity to preach and old people will come out of retirement to declare the word of the Lord. The revivals will start all across America. The people will just begin to share their testimonies. You know, the Bible says in the book of Acts, they preached and they testified. And there's some of you that says, well, I don't know that I can preach. But if you have a testimony, if you have a story about how God has changed your life, share it. Share it. Share it. You can share it on VPN Radio. You can share it on Facebook. You can share it on a YouTube. You can share your testimony. You can share it in a live before a live audience. You can share it in a church. Ask your pastor, can I share my testimony of what God has done for me? Lord, awaken us. Awaken the church. Awaken a slumbering, sleeping people. In Jesus' name, awaken the mighty men who will stand and proclaim, who will preach, who will testify, who will declare the good news that Jesus is alive and that all things are possible and nothing is impossible. Lord, we need your help today. Hallelujah. 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 Let us not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ and the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's more blessed to give than to receive. To give our testimony. To give what God has done for us. To give what has happened in our lives. May we share that unashamedly. BPNradio.com. That's what we're all about. We're here to pray. We're here to pray. The Lord spoke to me in the summer of 2014 and said, son, I want you to start leading prayer on internet radio 24 hours a day. I've been a prayer leader in America since 1985. I started the Breakout Prayer Network in 1997 after leading prayer at the White House. If you'd like to be a member of the Breakout Prayer Network, here's what you do. There's no cost. There's no charge. You will receive one email a day that includes a prayer that I've been sending out now for maybe 6 or 7, I don't know how long, 5 or 6 or 7 years, every day with the help of Linda Meeks and Cheryl Ortiz and Evelyn Gastelum. We also have this in Spanish, thanks to Evelyn Gastelum. Here's how you become a member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Include the name of your church and your city. All you have to do, at least include your name and your city. All you have to do is go to letspray America.com. Letspray America.com. Letspray America. Letspray America.com. When God gave me that, I saw billboards all over America with that on the billboards. Letspray America.com. Letspray America.com. Hallelujah. And all you have to do is just fill out the information. Take you about 30 seconds. And if you want to look at the map when you get to letspray America.com, if you want to look at the map, you can see all of the towns and cities that are represented on the Breakout Prayer Network. Just go to map, M-A-P, and you'll find that. We're in a battle. Ladies and gentlemen, believers, intercessors, we are definitely in a battle, but we know the battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. And we as Christians must not run away from the battle. We must run to the battle. We must let our voices be heard in Jesus' name. It's been good to have Dennis Jernigan on with me. He mentioned his song, Run to the Battle. We're going to play it right now. And as we continue to pray here on intercession, on this Wednesday edition of Intercession Wednesday, Intercession February, on VPNRadio.com. And we're going to play the song by Dennis Jernigan, Run to the Battle. Here we go. Okay, that
welcome
is,
to the Dennis Jernigan Podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to help you find healing for your wounds, find hope in your despair, find intimacy in your loneliness.
Okay, thank you very much, Dennis Jernigan. That's his podcast, and I, of course, I invite you to go there and listen to Dennis Jernigan. And we're going to, if we can find his song here, we're going to play Run to the Battle, because he mentioned that, and I believe that that is very, very important, a very, very important song, Run to the Battle. We're going to see if we can find that in just a moment. In the meantime, I want to tell you that you are listening to VPNRadio.com, VPNRadio.com. If you want to make a contribution to VPNRadio.com, all you have to do is go to VPNRadio.com and click on the donate button. Your gifts are tax deductible, and want to encourage you to do that. If you will, go to VPNRadio.com and click on the donate button. Wow, it's been a wonderful day today. Been a wonderful day listening to VPNRadio.com. Thank you for joining us. We're going to be doing this Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., 2 p.m., 5 p.m., 10 p.m. On VPNRadio.com. And we want you, if you will, to tell your friends, and if you, particularly if you're an intercessor, we need you to pray with us, because we know the power of agreement is just so very, very incredible. Well, we'll play the Dennis Jernigan song a little bit later on, but we're going to run to the battle, because we know the battle is the Lord's, and we want to get as many people free as we possibly can. I really appreciate you listening to VPNRadio.com today, and Delvin Kinzer. This is a Wednesday. Delvin Kinzer has the news, and Roy Beard at 11:55 is a word from the wall. And today, Dr. David and Yvonne Remedios from Louisiana is going to be from Forest Hill, Louisiana Trinity Church, from Forest Hill, Louisiana, is going to be leading us in corporate prayer. That will be at 12 noon. And then Callie Hargraves, who was on with us yesterday, she's going to be leading prayer on the Warrior Women Watch throughout the day and night. We continue to pray here on BPNradio.com, calling America to pray and believing that God is one that is hearing and answering prayer. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
It's gonna be worth it all. I believe all my pain. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth my joy. You're gonna be worth it. You're gonna be worth it. You're gonna be worth it all. I believe. You're gonna be worth it. You're gonna be worth it. You're gonna be worth it all. I know. Yeah.
knocks me down again. I'm reminded of the wrong that I have said and done, and that devil just won't let me forget. In this life, I know what I've been. Here in your arms, I know what I am. I'm forgiven. Struggle with my pain, wrestle with my pride. Sometimes I feel alone and I cry. And in this life, I know what I've been. But here in your arms, I know.
Talking to me, and I'm gonna listen to every word.
you say. I'm hanging on your every word, standing on your promises, open just like a tree. I'm planted by the water, and though the fiery furnace gets hotter and hotter, I'm hanging on your every word, walking in the faith I've heard. Oh, I'm not letting go, I'm hanging on your every word. So I'm gonna keep my eyes upon you and hold up my shield of faith, quench the fiery darts of the evil one and put him in his place. Father, you've given me precious promises, the faith I'm gonna receive. Believers are receivers and doubters do without us. I believe, I believe, I believe. I'm hanging on your every word, standing on your promises. Oh, and just like a tree, I'm planted by the water, and though the fiery furnace gets hotter and hotter, I'm hanging on your every word, walking in the faith I heard. Oh, I'm not letting go, I'm hanging on your every word. Standing on your promises. Oh, and just like a man who built his house upon a rock, the wind and the rain will never knock it off. I'm hanging on your every word, walking in the faith I've heard. Oh, I'm not letting go, I'm hanging on your every word. Gonna keep standing on,
hanging on, hanging on.
Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ruth, Lord, your word is true.
Hanging on, hanging on.
From Genesis to Revelation, Lord, such a sweet salvation. I'm hanging on, hanging on your every word. I keep hanging.
Is it true today that when people cry, cloudless skies will break, kings and queens will shine? Yes, it's true, and I believe it. I'm living for you. Thank you.
every doubt disappears in the shadows. We wanna see you shine, shine, shine like the stars. You are the first love to open my heart and hope. Every dream comes alive when you shine on us. When you shine on us. Oh, oh, oh. When you shine on us. When you shine on us. When you shine on us.
Where I'm going.
your pure face. And you heard my frail petitions to serve you endlessly. Have a love, the tree that led me to you. Oh, my friend who met me at the cross. Oh, I want to sing again for my brother, to find my way down this mountain. Thank you.